Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. What's up, everybody? And welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, I got my pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. The season is almost over.
Can't wait, man. We're like 4 days away from the playoffs? My God. The banger in the paint, Rajan Walia. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. You're right. Playoffs are just around the corner, and it's the best time of the year.
Playoffs, Game of Thrones. Is there anything better this weekend?
A close third comes Billions, but I don't think that comes anywhere close to the playoffs or Game of Thrones, but it's going to be a great weekend.
Billions is going to get watched on like Monday evening after playoffs.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning.
Yeah, we got lots of time for that. So we're near the end. We're recording on Tuesday morning, so we have like 2 days left. And we're just going to jump right into the NBA awards. So obviously we know every year the NBA sends out forms to all the media members. Obviously we do not have one, but you know, it's a fun exercise to go through. And let's just start with the top dog, the MVP.
I'm going to go with Giannis. I think at the end of the day, there's probably two candidates. We obviously know it's Giannis and Harden that are the top picks for MVP, but I think Giannis has just done such a great job. His team is number one in the NBA, only team to have 60 wins. He plays both well on the offensive and defensive end, and I think he's just raised his game to another level. No disrespect to Harden, even though I would love to, but I just think Giannis has done it consistently over the entire season, and he has the best team in the NBA, and he's efficient on both ends of the floor, and Milwaukee definitely would not be the same team they are now without Giannis.
Yeah, I would tend to agree as well. I got Giannis as MVP too, and he's been the most consistent player in the NBA this season. His team is, you know, by far the best team in the NBA in terms of the regular season, and he's played in pretty much every game this year. And he's just been dominant throughout. I mean, Harden's had a better peak, I think, over the course of that, I think, you know, 1 month or 1.5 month stretch where he was averaging like 40 points a game. But Giannis has been so consistent throughout the season and just been amazing to watch.
Yeah, I also have Giannis, but I also don't want to take it away from Harden. I mean, he's probably I think he's the first player to average over 36 since Jordan, right? In like the mid 80s. Those are crazy numbers to be putting up on top of 6.5 rebounds, 7.5 assists a game. So it's not like he's playing pure hero ball. It's just that the possessions are all running through him, right? Like his usage rate must be insane.
Yeah, I also think that like Harden did have a bigger peak, as Josh said. And like at the end of the day, if Harden ends up winning MVP, I don't think anyone can really make big, like have a big complaint. I just think that at the end of the day, like, you're looking at Houston, which is still, they turned their season around, and I think they're one of the hottest teams going into the playoffs. But just to look what Milwaukee did with the personnel they had, like, I think no one really expected them to be this good. And they're a 60-win team. They've had some big statement wins. This is not like just Milwaukee beating up on the weak East and preying on the likes of Memphis and New Orleans. Like, they've beaten Golden State. I think they've beaten every NBA team. And
wrong. They have not beaten Phoenix.
Oh, wow. All teams. Oh, wow. Wrong. I take it back. So maybe they have a problem beating up on the weak teams. But, like, they've beaten pretty much every team. Thank you, Josh. But they're just a very good team. And I think at the end of the day, like, you got to fear the deer. And the deer you really have to fear is Giannis.
That was so well put. Yeah, I totally agree. And who would you say the second best player on Milwaukee is? Middleton or Bledsoe?
It's been Bledsoe this year. I mean, Middleton got the All-Star nod, but Bledsoe's been way better. I have a stats corner later on with Bledsoe's defense. He's been the best point guard defender in the NBA this year. And his offense is, you know, ticked up a lot versus last year as well. It's going to be interesting to see if he actually does in the playoffs this year, unlike last year. But so far in the regular season, he's been one of the better point guards in the NBA.
I mean, if they don't match up against Boston, I think he'll be okay. As long as Terry Rozier doesn't get into his head.
Yeah, but I think one other thing that's really interesting is both these players, Giannis and Harden, kind of play on a similar teams, especially offensively. Like, they shoot high volume threes. I'm pretty sure Milwaukee's number two in 3-point attempts per game. And Giannis is kind of playing like an unorthodox role, as in a league that's been dominated by guards and is kind of continuously probably going to be dominated by guard play or even like small forwards. Giannis has kind of really taken the MVP race, and he's such a unique player. Like, I don't even know what position to categorize him. Like, sometimes he's playing center, obviously he's a forward, but he's such a unique player that I think he's well deserving of an MVP.
Yeah, he's a banger in the paint.
The real banger in the paint.
And his three-point percentage has actually gone up throughout the course of the regular season, too. I think he was up to around 30 or 31%.
Yeah, he started off at like 12%. At like maybe around December or January, he was at 12. So he's gone up a lot, and he's shooting a lot more, too. It's like he's just saving it for the playoffs. Imagine he drops to another, or like takes it to another level for the playoffs. How insane would that be?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Most dominant.
I would be, to be honest. I think he's just really? Going to be, you know, 2000, circa 2000 Shaq in the playoffs. He's not going to take that many outside shots.
Damn, man. You're such a bummer on this guy. First you think Kawhi's going to be better than him, and now you don't think he's going to shoot.
Oh, I know Kawhi's going to be better than him. But he'll be the second best player in the East. There's nothing wrong with that.
Not Pascal?
We'll see. The next Scottie Pippen. Spicy. I don't know. We'll see.
Pippen. Who do you guys have for third? Just to throw it out there.
For me, I have Jokic. Much like, you know, Giannis versus Harden, I think he's been more consistent throughout the regular season than Embiid. I think it's really close. I think those two are 3 and 4, though, overall. And I think Embiid has also missed more games than Jokic. Jokic has been, you know, a model of consistency. He's so durable in that he doesn't miss games until the last game where they're obviously trying to tank to get out of Houston's bracket by letting Portland take a game off them. But, you know, overall, Jokic, his team has been first in the West for a large part of the year, not right now, but he's the main reason why they go. And much like Giannis, with the comparison, he makes everyone around him better. And he's going to get a lot of guys paid in the next couple of years just based on, the spacing that he creates and how, like, he creates such easy looks for guys like, you know, Beasley, Harris, Barton. Mason Plumlee plays really well with him despite not being able to shoot.
The Plum.
Yeah.
Sorry.
First ever.
But yeah, I think Embiid also has a case for third as well. He's been one of the best defensive players in the NBA, and he's arguably as dominant as Giannis in terms of offense when he does.
Whoa.
The difference in statement. You know, Philadelphia when Embiid plays versus when he does. I mean, they had like a couple 30-point blowouts against really bad teams when Embiid doesn't play. So he's definitely the most valuable player on that team by far. And without him, they have no chance even out of make it out of the first round, I think.
Yeah, again, just to echo Josh's statements, I have Jokic as well, number three. I think if he played in a bigger market than Denver that had more primetime games, I think people would recognize it more. And also, there's the cultural barrier with Jokic versus a player like Harden. But my fourth, I know we're not going to four, but I think really it was a tough choice between Jokic and PG. I just think PG's kind of slumped, and not maybe PG himself, but just OKC had a tough second half of the season in terms of schedule, and I don't think he's been as impressive as he was in the first half, but I'd have Jokic in my third spot.
Man, we all think alike too much. I have Jokic and then Embiid. For literally the exact same reasons that Josh has put down. Just a super consistent player. He's always around. I think he missed two games so far this year. One was because he got suspended for putting a foot on the line during like a pushing match. And then the other one was when Denver sat like three of their starters. I mean, he's just been incredible all year. And his low post game is so underrated. He has those weird like little flick shots that instead of just powering over guys like Embiid and Giannis do, he just like maneuvers around them. No matter how big or small the guy is. You know what I mean? Like, it's nice.
You're also a Denver homer.
Yeah, where he pushes three with his shoulder and then he throws the ball up just to get the offensive rebound because he knows he's bigger than the person that's guarding him. It's very smart.
Yeah. Fantasy warlord on top of it. It's beautiful.
On the Paul George note, though, I don't have him in my top five just because he does this every year where he's really good for the first half of the year and then he just trails off in the second half. I know he's been injured, but even like the previous years, he wasn't injured and he always tails off. I'm not sure if it's a conditioning thing or he's just taken on too much of a load, but I have Steph Curry as my number five in the MVP voting.
Wow. I was not expecting that. I would have...
Curry has had arguably a better year this year than his MVP year in terms of his overall raw numbers.
I just think that he's missed a few games, and in terms of his team, like they just have more weapons, so they're just less reliant on him. But he's had good statistical year, and he's obviously the key part of the engine that makes Golden State tick. But we're getting too deep into the rankings here. I think Giannis wins this, though.
All right, let's move on. Josh, why don't you do the honors of most improved player?
For most improved player, I have Pascal Siakam, and I have D'Angelo Russell as second.
I don't like spicy because I'm spicy enough.
Oh, okay.
I don't need to add any spice. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Both players have been absolutely awesome for their teams, obviously. Siakam has taken his offensive game to a whole other level. Like, I mean, last year in the playoffs, he was guarding John Wall, which totally changed that series. So his defense was always up to par in terms of comparing last year to this year. But his offense has just gone another level where he's, you know, rushing the ball up in transition. He gets a rebound. He doesn't even look at Lowry anymore. He just brings the ball up himself. And his post-up game is really unconventional, but much like Jokic, he just takes advantages of, you know, of mismatches, especially against smaller guys at those crazy spin moves that he's now known for, and just shooting over guys. And his three-point percentage has gone way up as well. I think he's at 37% now, and he's like 42% from the corners, which is huge for Toronto. His shot doesn't look great, but it goes in now from the three-point line. He's been super consistent, especially in the last 3 months.
He's actually at 41.4% from the corners.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Well, actually.
Peter, you're now hired for the stats corner job.
You've been replaced.
I've been replaced.
Oh, yeah. I also have Spicy P followed by D'Angelo. And then my third is Buddy Hield. Hield has had an incredible shooting season.
Yeah. We have the same list, Peter. I'm not sure who copied who, but I have Siakam for all the same reasons. I don't think there's anything to add. I thought it was really tough to choose the third place. I thought it was even harder than choosing who deserves it. I had Buddy Hield versus Sabonis.
I actually had Bogdanovich for Indiana. I think that he's been...
Oh, my God.
He's been their best player, since Oladipo's been out.
Offensively.
Defensively, he's all right. They need somebody to score for them. They were one of the toughest teams in terms of, you know, garnering points in the NBA.
Yeah, he's just gunning it.
He's shooting really well, though, as a first option, though, which is really unexpected for, you know, somebody who hasn't really shown that he can, you know, take on a big load in the pick and rolls and off spot-up shots and off screens. He's been really good.
Yeah. Let's sing some praise for D'Angelo Russell before we keep it moving here. He was traded... When was he traded to Brooklyn? Like, last year?
No, the year before, I believe.
2 years ago? So, traded to Brooklyn in his second year in the league, right? Or after his second year?
I believe it was after second year, yeah.
Yeah. Basically, the Lakers sold on him, said that they couldn't really improve him any much more. And he's literally carried this team to the playoffs this year. They obviously had a lot of injuries with Caris LeVert, Allen Crabbe, Spencer Dinwiddie was down for a while. And this guy just took the offensive load all on himself. His pull-up game these days is incredible. And he's got like an almost Mike Conley-esque floater game now, where once he's going up the lane, he splits a double a lot of the times somehow, and is floated up over the big, it is beautiful to watch this guy play, especially on offense.
Yeah, he's figured out the in-between game for sure, and he's shooting a crazy percentage from mid-range in those little floater shots, so you wonder how sustainable that is going forward, but, you know, in terms of this year, he's obviously led him to the playoffs, which nobody really expected from a Brooklyn team. That, you know, they have a lot of parts, but they have a lot of role players, and throughout the course of the year, guys like Jared Dudley and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson have played parts and spurts, but they haven't really been consistent in terms of getting minutes, and the only consistent so far this year has been Russell, I think. And, you know, he's taken on a huge burden, and he's been really efficient, which is the biggest difference between his first and second years to what he's doing now. That he's taking the same types of shots, but he's just, you know, getting more space and learning how to use angles better and being able to just become more consistent with shooting those little 12-foot shots and being able to get those shots off against certain defenders.
I have nothing to add. I think I think we have the same kind of most improved player, and I think, to be honest, a good case can be made for D'Angelo being first, but I think Siakam's just improved both sides of the ball, and he went from really not being a big option on offense to now being the second best option on the Raptors and one of the better teams in the East.
Yeah, I just think Siakam's a more impactful player overall, especially defensively. But I think in the playoffs, having a guy like Siakam that can just take advantage of mismatches and a guy that can basically guard anybody but brute centers is a huge advantage for Toronto. And I think, you know, even though we're giving D'Angelo all this love, I would be very hesitant to give him a max contract in the offseason.
Save that for another day, please.
Yes.
We're not getting into contract talk today. Maybe at the end of this. Do you think Pascal is more... I don't want to say better, but is he more valuable to the Raptors than Lowry is at this point?
I think so. I mean, he's their second option at this point, and again, defensively, you can put him on point guards. So that's going to be huge for Toronto once they actually have to play him at the center, which is going to be something that they're going to have to do against a team like Milwaukee if they play them in the conference finals.
Ooh.
Or even against a team like Boston against Horford.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to disagree. I know I'm not as big of a Raptors homer as Josh is, but I think Lowry's probably more important to the team. Not stats-wise, not options, but I think Lowry's role is to facilitate the offense and really get the other role players involved. And at the end of the day, like, I know Kawhi is going to be able to get his shots, and I think Siakam will get looks, but I think Lowry's job is to make sure that the rest of the players can get open looks. Really, his job is not to score like in previous years where he's expected to score 20 points. Like, even if he scores in the teens, but gets like eight plus assists, I think he's doing a good job of facilitating the offense. And I think the Raptors will go as far as Lowry goes in terms of his ability to make an impact on the floor.
Great. That was our 1 minute of Raptors talk. Now we are done our contractual obligations. On to the next, Defensive Player of the Year. I'm going to go with Gobert on this one, followed by Paul George. And then I have Turner in the third spot. Obviously, Utah has improved a lot since, the All-Star break, even before the All-Star break, similar to what they did last year. Their schedule has got a lot easier. And Josh, I know it's something you've been saying all year that, you know, just wait for it. Wait for their schedule to get easy. When they're not on the road all the time, when they actually have like rest in between their games. And Utah's turned it around, and their defensive anchor is still Rudy Gobert. I'd give him the repeat this year.
I can't really argue against Gobert, but at the same time, I don't understand why you have Paul George. Who do you have again? Is Paul George in third?
Turner.
Oh,
Turner slash Giannis. But, yeah.
Turner, no, I don't get how you have those guys over Giannis. I have Giannis as my defensive player of the year. So I have him both as the MVP and the DPOY this year.
That's why I couldn't give him number one. It's just because it's not going to happen.
Why not?
Let's be real here.
Well, who deserves it? It's not who's going to win it. It's who deserves it.
No, but I think Giannis deserves it. I mean, Milwaukee's been consistently the best defensive team in the NBA this year. And his numbers are off the charts in terms of his defensive impact. And much like when you're talking about Pascal, you know, Giannis is a guy that can guard 1-4, sometimes 1-5, depending on the center matchup. Again, he, just like Pascal, can't really guard those brute type of centers, but he can guard everyone else. And his impact on defense just absolutely amazing. And he's a guy that can guard multiple positions on the floor, whereas Gobert is sort of like a guy that just stays back on defense and guards the rim, which is nothing wrong with that, obviously. And Utah's system implores players to, you know, basically feed players to the rim for him to just swallow them up. But Giannis just does more on the floor, I think, in terms of the defensive end.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Gobert over Giannis, but I think it's like Giannis 2 and Turner 3. I just think that Gobert's job on Utah is so essential in terms of them being able to play their style. Like, without him inside the middle anchoring that, I don't think Utah is anywhere close to a playoff team. And he does do it in multiple facets, even if he's not guarding positions 1-5. Like, he's altering shots. He's grabbing boards. I think he's like third in the league in rebounds. He's up there in blocks. I think overall, Gobert offers, like, it's more important in terms of his defensive skills than Giannis's. And I think overall, Milwaukee has improved their defense. They obviously have Eric Bledsoe, which you mentioned is one of the best point guards, is having one of the best years as a defensive point guard, and offensive, he's playing pretty well. But I just think that Gobert offers more. And I think Giannis is very close, but I think he's probably second in defensive player of the year voting.
Who do you guys have for third?
I have Embiid, just because when he's on the floor, Philadelphia is dominant defensively. And I think, again, going back to Paul George, like, he's totally tailed off from the start of the the year anyway, when he hurt his shoulder, I guess. His defense hasn't been good either, and they've been like 20th in the NBA since January 1st, I think. So I can't really justify putting him in my top three, I don't think.
I have Turner.
That's fair.
I have Turner over Embiid.
Okay. Little trivia. Since, Josh, you want Giannis to get both Defensive Player of the Year and MVP, who are the two players who have done it before to achieve both of these awards?
Do you know? The Dream. Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon.
Do you know what year?
93?
Close.
94?
94. Damn, you're good. But who else is there?
It's probably somebody before him, right? In like the 80s or 90s?
Yeah, the 80s.
Kareem?
No. Simpler than that.
Will Jordan?
Jordan.
Yeah. Mm.
The one year that Jordan won Defensive Player of the Year, he was also the MVP in 88. Mm. His first MVP award.
Hey, you know what? Maybe this is Giannis's year where he wins both too.
He should.
Quickly becoming the GOAT. Soon enough, he'll be the GOAT.
The Greek GOAT.
Ah, I like the alliteration. All right, let's move on. Coach of the Year. Raj, who do you got?
I have Mike Budenholzer. I find it difficult to argue any other way. He took a team that really didn't have an identity and was probably underperforming last year to becoming the best team in the NBA, best record. He's also done a really good job of taking players and assigning them roles. And these roles are like, for instance, Lopez has just become a prolific 3-point shooter. And they've managed to have a very good defense, in terms of just like the kind of the system they play. And I think any other coach, maybe has done another job. Like, I have Doc as number two and Nate McMillan as number three, but I think Mike is just really taking the whole team to another level.
I have Dwayne Casey. I think he's done a spectacular job with the Detroit. I also have Budenholzer. I mean, they've had the biggest turnaround, I think, in terms of how their system and how they play overall. I mean, last year, looking at the numbers, I'm trying to find them with defensive rating. I think they were 18th last year, and this year they've been number one the entire season. And just the way they, you know, the difference in the systems is crazy, because now they drop back mostly and they make players take those like 5 to 10 foot shots, which is one of the more, you know, difficult shots, especially when you're shooting over Lopez and Giannis. And despite giving up one of the, you know, most three-point shots in the NBA in terms of per game averages, Budenholzer has those guys really running to shooters and working as hard as they can. Like, they really, you can see that they really believe that they can win under Budenholzer, and they're doing everything they can to do so, and they've been super consistent throughout the entire regular season in terms of just playing hard every single game under Bud. So his teams love him, and, you know, Atlanta won 60 games a couple times under him as well. He just knows how to get his teams organized and playing the way that he wants them to play. And there's been situations where Middleton didn't really play well throughout the course of the first half of the year. He was benching him, and he just wasn't putting in the effort. And then you can see the difference in the second half of the year where he's putting in max effort. And his guys, whoever comes off the bench as well, just produces. I mean, DJ Wilson, the guy that didn't play at all last year, has become a main cog for them as a backup center of all things. So he just puts them in roles where they can succeed. And it's hard to look at their team and find a guy who hasn't overachieved this year.
Even George Hill.
Nothing wrong with George Hill.
Yeah, he's an adequate point guard.
Yeah. You need those kind of players in the playoffs, just like he's a cerebral player.
This is true. Josh, who do you have second and third?
For second, I got Dwayne Casey. I got Nate McMillan for second. I mean, getting that team into the fifth seed without Oladipo is pretty incredible. I mean, as early as 2 years ago, nobody really expected this team to be in the playoffs at all, even with Oladipo, who wasn't really a proven player at that point. But and losing Oladipo and just maintaining the same type of defense throughout the course of the last 2 months, and bringing a guy like Bogdanovich into a bigger role and him succeeding and being able to create space and find him shots. Collison's played really well, obviously, and their team has just been consistent despite not being able to score a lot of points. So I have him as my second place, and then I have Doc as my third.
Damn. Guys, no love for Coach Mike Malone in Denver.
Yeah, right? He's on my list. He's an honorable fourth. Oh my God. Honorable fourth.
I have Doc as my honorable mention. Oh. I have Malone at second, obviously.
Yeah.
Because I'm a homer.
Okay, but Doc has done way more than Mike Malone has. Like, Doc's, like, there was no...
Yeah. Whoa.
I wouldn't say that, but yeah, getting Denver that team in the playoffs after, you know, remember Tobias this. Harris got traded, I think that deserves a lot of praise. That's why I have him third.
Yeah, before the Harris trade, Doc was like a what? Like, they were playing well, but it wasn't anything insane. But once you lose your best player, that's when he really got his team together. Also, they get bailed out a lot. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Lou Will is bailing them out a lot.
Yeah, I just think that if...
Wait, hold on. What does that mean?
I'm saying that Lou Will has won the, like, single-handedly won them games.
Mm.
Literally with, like, a two-step pull-up.
Yeah, I mean, he's hit a couple game winners this year, but getting them into that position is something that we didn't really expect. Like, they should not be in a lot of these games anyway, starting guys like, you know, Landry Shamet and whoever they started center now.
Zubac or Harold, yeah. Like,
it's Zubac, yeah.
I would say that if you look at the players that have played like consistently for the Clippers, most of them are not NBA starters on playoff teams.
Congratulations, neither are the Nuggets. Other than Jokic and maybe Harris?
Jamal Murray's worthy of a starting position.
No, come on, Peter. All those guys are starters on most teams.
Yeah, I know. I'm just talking.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
I just want to show some love, man. They went from ninth to second, all right?
Yeah, of course.
Pure internal development.
Of course.
Like, their major offseason signing was Isaiah Thomas, who doesn't play anymore. Like, this team is legitimately just improved in every facet. Their young guys are getting better by the day. Their defense improved significantly. Like, they were in the bottom tier of defense last year, and now they're top 10?
Yeah, I think a lot of the nerds, though, saw this coming, like, including myself. I called them for third, and they're probably going to be in second place this year. It's just a matter of them staying healthy, because they have the talent, I think, especially in that starting lineup. If Millsap stays healthy, and Harris wasn't really healthy throughout the course of the entire year, but again, props to Malone for... having Beasley and Monte Morris just break out this year and being super consistent performers off the bench.
Did you say Harris?
Yeah, Harris didn't play a lot this year.
He did in the first half of the season before his injury.
I mean, he played for the first month and a half or so, but he's had nagging injuries the entire year. He's played through some of them, but then he had that 2-month stretch where I think he was out with an ankle injury.
Gary Harris. Yeah, sorry. I thought you were talking about Torrey Craig for some reason. I was like, wait, what?
Also, that guy's going to get paid in the offseason, too.
Oh, him and Beasley are going to get paid, man. And also, Mike Malone plays two bigs between Jokic and Plumlee all the time, and I love it.
Works.
Yeah. Somehow this system works.
I never thought we'd have Plumlee in NBA Awards mentioned twice.
Really? Can you feel the tension in the air right now? I know I can. I can feel it all the way down in my plums, getting all swollen, with a light blue hue to them, fresh and juicy, ready for the picking. All the school children are lining up to put them in the sack lunches. Hey, that plum looks good. Can I trade it for your Twinkie? No, these are my plums.
Damn right. And third, I also have Nate McMillan, with an honorable mention for, obviously, Dwayne Casey. And realistically, Nurse, Pop, there's been a lot of coaches who have done really well this year. Obviously, going above and beyond expectation for a lot of these guys. All right, let's move on. I think it's appropriate that we let Josh handle Rookie of the Year to begin.
Luka. It's 100% Luka. I'm tired of these people in the last couple months saying that Trey is now in the race. Yeah, it's a two-month race with Trey. Yeah, he's played better the last 2 months. Who cares? This award and every single award is about the entire season. It's about 82 games in total, and Luka's been by far the Rookie of the Year, and he's been one of the better guards in the NBA this year, to be honest, and I think if they're able to build around him and Porzingis, they're going to be in the playoffs as early as next year.
Yeah, I'm definitely one of those people that thinks that Trae Young's definitely stepped it up in the last half of the season.
He stepped it up, but he's still not in the race.
I think he is. I think he'll get a good portion of the first place votes, like maybe like 15%. Just because Doncic, I wouldn't say has like slacked off, but I think Doncic has just kind of like peaked very early and he's maintained it, which is what you want in an award in terms of this is a regular season award. You want it over the course of 82 games. But I think the race is closer than I think you want to give it credit for. But I think they're both going to be good NBA players, really exciting players. In terms of third, I really thought hard about this one, and I really couldn't think of another player that's consistently played well over the course of the season. But I would probably give it to as a rookie.
So harsh.
But like they've been players that have really had like two or three good months, and then they've kind of had injuries or they haven't gotten playing minutes, and for Bagley's sake. But I would give it to DeAndre Ayton just because. In terms of his game and his style, like playing center in the NBA is probably not what it was like 10 or 15 years ago, so you don't get that opportunity to shine as much as a guard. But I thought he played pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Jaren Jackson Jr. actually played the entire season, he would have been second because he was having a really impactful first couple months of the season. Like, on defense, he was incredible for a rookie, or incredible, period, just as an NBA player. And his shooting started to catch up in the month of January or so, when he's shooting a lot better from three and making those little dinkers and dumpers that Jokic is really good at in the paint, those little flip shots. I think that he's probably going to be the second-best player out of this class behind Luka. And probably the second most impactful because of his defensive acumen. And just, he's going to be a defensive player of the year at some point the next, like, 5 or 10 years.
You think he's going to be better than Trey?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Mm. I think if you have a big man that can play that level of defense, that's more impactful than a point. I don't think Trey's ever going to get to the level of, you know, a guy like Steph Curry, even Lillard. So I think he's going to might be in, you know, the top 10 of point guards eventually, but I don't think that's more impactful than a big man that can do the things that Jaren Jackson can do on defense.
Okay, let's just get one thing straight. If Trae Young got a proper haircut, would he at least get like a little more love from you?
Maybe. He's got to shave that off, man.
Shave his head and his face.
I mean, you think as his agent, he would tell Trey, like, if you want to get more sponsors, you just got to get rid of that dome, man.
Damn.
You gotta do something with that, like gel it, or like do like the spiky hair like we used to do in middle school or something, you know? He can't just. Yeah. He looks like a fucking bush.
Yeah, he needs to at least wash his hair.
He's gotta do something, man. He needs to see a good barber. That's all he really needs.
It's like just he's got pubes on his head.
Good ass barber. Ugh, man, that's. Oh my god, I'm done with this conversation already. Let's keep.
You know,
moving.
For that he should be downgraded. Put Aiden in second.
All right, yeah, I'm done. Sixth man. I'm going with Lou. Please tell me I'm wrong. Just somebody please tell me I'm wrong.
I didn't even do this one. It's because it's obviously Lou Williams.
Yeah, Lou Williams. But I think...
Who's getting the Lou Williams Award this year? I think it's Lou Williams.
As long as he's in the NBA, he's going to be a candidate.
Man, it's like Jamal Crawford getting it all the time, too.
Yeah. It's like he modeled his game, and you know what? He's good at what he does. As much as we hate on it, he's good at what he does. In the regular season, at least.
Yeah, come playoff time, good. He's like poor man's DeRozan, which is... DeRozan's already a terrible playoff performer. He's like next level awful.
If he's poor man's DeRozan, who is DeRozan a poor man of?
Kobe.
Ooh.
No. Okay, let...
Who's a poor man of Mike?
I guess.
So Lou is like the poorest version of Mike?
But going back to the sixth man for a second, I think Montrezl Harrell also has a case because he's been extremely consistent the entire season, and he's turned into like Clint Capella light in terms of catching lobs and being that big man that just provides like a ton of energy off the bench. And you know, when he started, he's been really good as well. I mean, he plays starters minutes, but when he goes against, you know, starting caliber centers, he outworks them, and he's all over the place, and he's really improved his offensive game too. Like, going back to the Jokic talk, like he has a little, you know, hook shot, little dinker and dumper, as I mentioned before, with those little flip shots. And his jump shot has actually improved this year as well. And he said that he wants to improve his ball handling in the upcoming years to become a more, you know, complete all-around player, which at this point, can you really doubt he's going to be that? I mean, he's already improved so much in the course of the last 2 years, and credit has to go to him, but also Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I fully agree with everything that was said about Harrell. I just think that over the course of a season, I think Sabonis has probably had a better job as, or better season in terms of a sixth man. Like, without his offensive input, Indiana would be nowhere close to where they are. Like, he's an effective offensive player, and he provides them lots of scoring, lots of energy. I think every team in the NBA would want a player like Sabonis on them. Not saying they wouldn't want a player like Montrezl Harrell, but I just think that Sabonis has done it from the bench for the entirety of the season.
I think that's going to be one of the, you know, more interesting subplots of the offseason, as well as what Indiana does with Sabonis, because they have a chance to extend him this year, I believe. But they're going to have to pay a lot of money to a guy that's going to be a sixth man. So I'm not sure if they're going to be wanting to do that, if they're going to look at possibly trade him this offseason, because they've already made their choice in making Miles Turner their center. So their starting center, that is.
Pay the man. Pay the man. All right, quick trivia. Over the last 5 years, we've had three different six men award winners. Who are those three?
Over the course of how long, sorry?
The last 5 years.
The last 5 years.
5 years?
Obviously not including this year.
Well, Lou Williams.
Yes. That's one.
I guess Crawford's too far back, eh?
Yeah.
No, he's won two of them in this time span.
Jeez.
Isn't he like 40 now?
He's up there.
I don't know how old he is, but he's still kicking it.
My goodness.
Let's see. He's 39. And currently signed to the Phoenix Suns, for anyone who forgot. But who's the third player?
Oof.
I think it's spanning too far back, but it's not Isaiah Thomas, right?
Hell no.
No.
Yeah.
Hell no. He never won it. How about that?
Mm-hmm. I just remember that 1 year he averaged like 18 points off the bench. I think it was for Sacramento.
Yeah, he did not win that year. I just wanted to show how little this award means to most people.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of somebody, but...
Oh my god, Josh, this is your boy, too.
Is he still coming off the bench?
Yes. Yes.
He's my boy, huh?
Shoots a lot of threes. Can handle the rock. Looks like a chipmunk.
Oh. Oh my god. Gordon.
Yes.
Oh.
2 years ago, 2 years? Eric Gordon was the sixth man winner.
I see. Wasn't he in second place or something last year?
Maybe, probably.
Yeah, I remember it was...
I can't see who else would be.
Yeah, I remember, I think we were doing the same exercise, and I think Van Vliet, it was Gordon, Van Vliet, and Lou ended up winning.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to show you guys. This year, Lou Williams will be capturing his third to tie Jamal Crawford as the most all-time.
This award is basically which should be starter, plays the most minutes, and produces the most.
Scores the most.
Yeah.
Right? Only scores the most.
I think Iguodala should have won one in the last 3 years.
Nah, he doesn't play during the regular season.
I mean, he did at the start of his contract. He still averaged like at least 25 minutes a game, and he was the best all around.
He chills too much, man. Sure. He chills too much. He got his finals MVP. He doesn't need a sixth man.
I guess so.
Yeah, he doesn't care about sixth man anymore. All right. Raj, why don't you start with your first team all defense?
First team all defense. Okay, got me excited if I thought I was going to get the chance to do the first team all NBA. First team all defense, I have Marcus Smart and Eric Bledsoe as my guards. I think both players have just played incredibly well. And Marcus Smart's obviously been known as a defensive player. And he always gets the toughest assignments. And without him, Boston is definitely not as effective as a defensive team. In terms of forwards, I'd give it to Giannis, Rudy Gobert, and Miles Turner. Those are my defensive player of the year candidates, so I don't think we need to go over that again.
Yeah, for me, I have the same backcourt, though. I was thinking about putting Danny Green as a shooting guard. I mean, I think he's the leader in defensive plus minus overall at the shooting guard position. But, you know, I'll give it to Marcus Smart just because he can guard so many different positions, and he's basically the heart of that Celtics team. Whenever he's out of the lineup, they just struggle. And, you know, despite trying to put in that new lineup with Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward at the start of the year, that just didn't work at all. And then once he inserted Marcus Smart, they just took off, obviously. And getting back to Bledsoe, I can finally bring up my Bledsoe stats. So in matching up against the top guards in the NBA, Damian Lillard, James Harden, Stephen Curry, Kyrie Irving, Russell Westbrook, and Kyle Lowry, going against those guards this year, none of those guys have shot over 40% against Bledsoe and the Bucks. And in terms of points per game, they're also way down. Lillard normally averages 26 points a game. He's 17.5 against the Bucks, which is crazy. James Harden, his usage is still insane against the Bucks. So he averages 36 points a game. He's averaging 32 against the Bucks. Stephen Curry has the biggest difference. He averages 28 points a game and 15 against the Bucks. And then you got Kyrie Irving at 21.7 against the Bucks versus 24 overall. Russell Westbrook also has a major drop, 23 points per game normally, 13 against the Bucks. And then Lowry had a 0 point game against the Bucks this year. And thus his average went from 14 to 6 points per game against Bledsoe and the Bucks. So he has to be first team all NBA.
I mean, that's not surprising regarding Lowry.
And wait, Josh, you're telling me these stats and you still don't fear the deer?
Well, playoffs are a whole different ball game, and as we saw last year with Bledsoe, he's still not a proven entity in the playoffs.
Jesus. Come on, man. Have some respect.
Hey, man, if we can't believe in Lowry based on his previous performances in the playoffs, why should we believe in Bledsoe? And even a guy like Middleton or Brook Lopez.
Underperformed in the playoffs?
What's that?
Wow. Has Brook underperformed in the playoffs? Unwarranted shots, man.
Has he been in the playoffs before?
That's what I mean. Like, I don't think he's ever made it. Why are you throwing shots at him?
3-point shots are a much different ballgame in the playoffs, especially when you have to exert so much effort on defense. So we'll see if his legs stand up in the second round.
Literally.
Yeah. Then I have Kawhi at small forward, Giannis at power forward, and I have Embiid at center.
That's the exact team that I have as well. I can't believe you put Turner and Gobert in there instead of Kawhi and Embiid.
I just picked the best defensive players. And I didn't really think too much about positionings in terms of small forward or center and power. I just, like I said, you know what? Like, I think Giannis could play anything, so I put him out there. And I thought, honestly, Gobert and Miles Turner, even though they both play center, I thought they were both deserving of it.
All right, fair enough, fair enough. Are we done talking defense? Can we move on to the first team here?
Yep, let's move on to All-NBA.
Do it up, Josh. First team.
First team, I have a bit of a surprise, I'm sure, to you guys. It's going to be Damian Lillard as my first team All-NBA point guard. James Harden, Kevin Durant, Giannis, and Jokic. Lillard deserves it over Curry because he's been the most durable player in the NBA the last few years, I think. And I think overall, you know, with the games played and everything, he's probably had a bit of a better season than Steph in terms of workload, too, and having to bring that Portland team, you know, in the third seed right now, I think, or the fourth seed. And nobody really expected that after their, you know, disappointing performance against New Orleans. But Dame just brings it every year, and arguably he's been the best point guard in the NBA this year.
You had Steph as your fifth MVP candidate, but Dame was your first team
Thank
point
you.
Guard.
You know, that's a good point. That is a good point. I probably should have corrected that.
Damian Lillard, a fifth place MVP voting, please.
I'm changing my vote. Lillard, first team All-NBA and fifth in MVP voting.
There you go. All right, who else did you have? Sorry, I got so hung up on that when you were reeling off your team.
Harden, KD, Giannis, Jokic.
KD? Yeah, okay. I had Steph, Harden. I still like Paul George.
Nah.
I still like him, man. I still like him at that spot. And then Giannis and Jokic.
Yeah, I had, I think I had the exact same team as you, Peter.
Paul George is overrated.
I still think he had a good season. And I think KD had a subpar season. And he was out for...
You haven't seen KD's stats, have you? KD's stats are ridiculous. Yeah, he's had a better year than Paul George.
But he's missed more games than Paul George. He also plays on a better offensive team than Paul George. So his stats are obviously going to be a bit better. But I think Paul George has done it on both sides of the ball. And he's had a good year. Not an amazing MVP caliber year, but he's definitely maybe in the conversation, if you want to loosely say that.
Yeah, a lot of people are pushing that even a month ago, but he's had a disappointing 2019, I think, so far. So I can't really see how you have him in his first team.
I'd say since like the All-Star game, he's been disappointing.
Since the first of January, man.
Nah, B. Get out of here. Also, you know what's funny? You know how, Raj, you just said that Kevin Durant's missed like a few more games and whatever? Kevin Durant has played 77 games so far this year. How about that?
That's impressive. I just remember him sitting.
Yeah, I did not expect
that. I just remember
him. How about them apples?
Yeah. Honestly, that probably even proves my point even more. I felt like he's missed more games because there was just less games that he had to play very well in. And obviously, their team is the best in the West and still the favorites to make the finals. So I felt like it was more of a coast regular season for him. And he just spent too much time on Twitter.
Yeah, coast regular season averaging 28 points. Come on,
26.
Come whatever.
Come on, man. You gotta chirp the guy, get the stats right.
He was at 28 until like the last 3 weeks where he decided to play point guard instead of being the usual all-around player.
That is an interesting spin for this team, eh?
It's working.
Having him do it instead of Draymond?
It's working.
I like it. I like it a lot. I think they're much better with Durant running more.
So who do you have on second team, Peter?
My second team is... I have Lillard, obviously. I put Kyrie as my two. KD, Kawhi, and Joel.
Oh, wow. We have quite a different team. I think Beal deserves second team All-NBA over Kyrie. Over Kyrie.
My goodness.
Get out of here. I don't even have
him in 11th place right now.
Get out of here.
Okay, who do you have him over? Go ahead.
I have him over Kyrie.
Oh my god. And the podcast right now.
Oh man.
That is blasphemy.
I might have to kick you off the call, dog.
No. I just think Kyrie didn't have a good season.
Oh my god.
Wow, you were not lying. Your picks are very unconventional.
Yeah. I have Dame, Beal, KD. I have Embiid, and as my other forward, I have Griffin.
Okay, that's fine. I'll give you Blake, but Beal is unacceptable.
I had him over Kyrie in terms of just like overall, I thought Beal had a great year. Like, yes, he's playing on a very bad team. Yes, he's probably getting the ball a lot more, especially since John Wall's been out. But he's had consistently a good year, and he's putting up good numbers. I thought without him, Washington would be, we're talking, worse than the New York Knicks. And at the end of the day, I think Kyrie's just not had a great season. Like, he's had a good peak. Maybe he had one or two really good months. But overall, he's been, I'd say, not the Kyrie we expected.
If you just wanted to look at regular numbers, Beal is averaging more points per game on more shots, but Kyrie has them in field goal percentage, 3-point percentage, free throw percentage, and assists. And rebounds, they're the exact same. And in terms of efficiency, Kyrie's 2 points higher than Beal as well. So I'm not sure what the hell you're talking about.
I just have Beal up there. I don't know what to say.
Beal 13 maybe, but Kyrie impacts winning. I mean, Washington, they're the 10th or 11th seed right now. I know that's not Beal's fault because he's had an amazing year and everything, but you also have to, you have to award winning at some point as well, and there's no way he's had a better season than Kyrie Irving. Irving's been the engine of that team.
Yeah, he's literally carried the offensive load for that team, especially when they were reeling.
He's been the most clutch player in the NBA this year, stats-wise, too.
Clutch, I don't disagree.
By far. So, wow, I cannot believe you actually put Beal in.
Yeah.
Blasphemous!
It was him or Kemba.
Seriously. Shame. Shame.
Take that walk of shame.
How about I start with my third team, All-NBA?
I haven't done my second team yet.
Okay, alright, well, let's hear it.
So I got Irving, and then I got Curry, Kawhi, Blake, and Embiid. So pretty much the same type of team as you guys.
You have Blake over... Wait, sorry. Oh, okay. Never mind.
So I have Paul George in my third team, yes.
Right. Okay, Raj, go with your third team, please.
I got Westbrook.
I want to hear... Hold on. Never mind. I thought you were going to say someone super absurd for third team instead of Westbrook.
Like DeLon Wright.
Goran Dragic.
Oh, no. Not even.
All right, sorry. Please continue.
I'd have Westbrook, Kemba, Kawhi, LeBron, and I have Gobert.
I'm beginning to think that you don't like the Warriors very much.
Why? Should I have Klay up there?
I have him up there. I have Russ, Klay, LeBron, Blake, and Gobert.
Wait, say that again. You have Russ,
I have
Klay.
Klay?
Yeah.
I have Klay instead of Kemba.
Okay. I thought Klay's had a good year. I just thought Kemba has had a great year. Obviously, again, he plays on a bad team, but he's the reason they're so they're at least contending for a playoff seed.
That might be because of Jeremy Lamb, though.
Or the Raptors' poor defense.
LeBron, yes. Who did you have for your second forward?
I had LeBron, Kawhi.
Kawhi. Okay, so you had Blake in your second.
Yeah.
Team. And then Gobert at your five.
Yeah, I didn't have Kawhi higher because I think he just sat a lot of game.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Josh, who do you got?
I have Westbrook, and then I have D'Angelo Russell as my shooting guard.
Ooh. Over Kemba?
Paul George. And I decided to reward LaMarcus Aldridge over LeBron because LeBron's only played 55 games this year. And plus, his team was trash, and he coasted half the year anyway.
Oh, my God.
So fuck LeBron. And then I got Gobert.
Oh, man.
I think the third team All-NBA is where the personal vengeance comes through.
For you guys.
I decided to reward winning this year. I don't think Klay should make third team All-NBA either.
Thank you. I think
that, as you mentioned, he's a guy that just fits on that team. He's had a really good year, obviously, but he hasn't impacted winning as much as guys even Kemba, D'Angelo Russell, guys like that. I don't know. I don't see it.
Yo, y'all are disrespectful.
He's a really good player, obviously. I just don't think that he's worthy of, third team All-NBA based on his performance. Has his performance really catapulted them into the first seed? Without him, they'd still be fine. He's the fourth most valuable player on that team.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
You think he's less valuable than Draymond?
100%, man. Are you kidding me?
Draymond can't play this year, Draymond?
Draymond anchors that defense. Without Drake, he's the most indispensable player besides Steph.
Get out of here. You're insane.
We're going to save this for the NBA playoff preview because I think there's going to be a lot of Warrior talk.
Hold on, before we leave, how many games has Kawhi Leonard played this year?
I'm going to say 60.
60.
Josh, what do you have?
I'll go 58.
59.
Oof.
LeBron James has played 55. Just throwing it out there. Number of different games isn't, or missed games isn't very much.
Can we do a quick stats corner?
Let's do it.
All right, so the best pick-and-roll players with at least 1,000 picks this year. So the guards that are the best pick-and-roll players in the NBA, can you name the top five? Go.
Harden?
He is tied at number five.
So we're going to have six players then?
No. Okay. Actually, technically, yes.
Okay.
But yeah.
If you name one of those three players, then it's fine.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Steph Curry?
Curry is not in there because Golden State doesn't run off pick-and-rolls.
No. Lillard.
Lillard is number one.
Yeah.
That's his game. Kemba?
Kemba is tied at number five, yes.
Nice. Good pull.
Or tied at number four, I should say, with Harden.
Why don't we take...
There's one unexpected name on here, and then there's just guys that just know how to score.
Kyrie?
Alex Caruso?
Maybe lately. Mr. Triple-Double.
Yeah.
Kyrie?
Kyrie is tied with Kemba and James Harden, so he is also tied at number four.
What about...
Donovan?
Donovan is not on the list.
Okay. Luka?
Okay.
Luka is in the top five... Top ten, so okay. He's not in the top five, unfortunately.
Damn.
He's last on the list in the top ten, so he's number 10. Nine here.
Why don't we take Collison?
Collison's not on the list. You're overthinking this one. Six
Am
man.
I? Oh, Lou.
Yep. And then our defensive player of the year at the point guard position, surprisingly.
Really?
Yeah, Eric Bledsoe is number three this year.
Wow. I did not expect that.
Yep. And then DeMar is tied with James Harden and Kyrie and Kemba. Monte Morris is behind DeMar, and then you got Luka behind Monte Morris.
Deep pull.
Wow.
Deep pull, Monte Morris.
Especially with
Monte
that
Morris
thousand,
had a big year.
Yeah, especially with 1,000 picks. That's a lot.
He's beasted this year.
Very nice. That's it?
Yeah, and just real quick shout-out, all rookie NBA team, Trae Young, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Luka, Jaren Jackson, DeAndre Ayton. I don't think there's any argument there.
I might put Bagley instead of Jaren Jackson, but... Otherwise, yeah. Sure, why not? Because it's all rookie team. I'm not giving this any real thought. All right, I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. Hit us up. You know, we're on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Anchor, Spotify, all the major platforms. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.